board of
Steph Spring.
Where's record at?
Right, M.
M. Check. Is it recording at this moment?
One second.
Testing, I guess it is. Alright, so let's hit, see, I have to hit delete. Okay, so we are in the student ministry seminar, and the student seminar is for students and anybody who else would like to come. So welcome to all of you, and for the sake of excitement for the Great Lakes Conference, I will say 1, 2, 3, and you guys can all do a clap, cheer type thing as much energy as you can muster after lunch. And so we're going to try it. You ready? 1, 2, ready, go. Hey, we are all here. Come on in, and we'll give you guys some papers. Welcome. Now, there's a lot of ways to think about leadership, and so for a few moments, we are going to just look at these four ways. And if you have a Bible with you in your bag, you're welcome to grab it. Otherwise, if you have your phone with you, you're welcome just to search a couple scriptures here, and we're going to have some people take a minute to try to figure out some of what the Bible is telling us and teaching us. Now, some of the preachers we've already had for conference have mentioned some things about leadership. The pastor, prophet, apostle, shepherd, teacher, all that stuff is along the lines of what Scripture talks about when it says in one place, if you are called to lead, then lead diligently, lead really well. And so, as you know, leadership has so many books written about it, it's not even funny, and the Bible teaches us a lot, but we're just picking out four simple things today. So, real quickly, tell me your name over there. Emmy?
Elijah.
Elijah. Where are you guys from?
Yes.
Where?
St. John's.
Oh, St. John's in Michigan. Okay. Cool. All right. After we get done with the portion of the seminar, we're going to do a couple little games and give away some of these two devotional books for experiencing God. And we've got some Laffy Taffy that we've got to use too because we bought it for the conference, so we'll do something. All right. Can everybody see okay? Hear okay? Are you ready? We need, I'll sign these first, and if it's okay, I'll just kind of go down the line. So if you could look up Luke 5, Luke chapter 5, and if you could look up John 15, you could look up Acts 1:8, the third one. And then Ephesians 2:1-4. These are on the paper. Anybody else got their Bible with them? Want to look up? Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Anyone else? Romans 8:7-8. So we've gone down the line so far. Zechariah 4:10 right there. Canaan. Philippians 4:8 can be you back there for looking up the scripture. Proverbs 29:18 on your phone. And then, one of you guys want to do your phone? Oh, won't let you connect? Oh, goofy phones. You want to do one? Philippians 4:13. I love that verse. All right. Well,
1:8.
Yeah, Acts 1:8. Also, while we're sitting here, there's a little thing at the bottom that tells Harvest and my contact information. But also, if you have Instagram, check out @GoHarvest. We'll try to post a picture there and whatever else of our group. And I know you already might have texted GLC for the prize later, but that same phone number, you can also text Harvest, which is more text through the year. But the GLC, GMC is just going to be really really rare, just kind of random leading up to next year. So if you'd like to receive both those, you're welcome to text Harvest to that number. You already get the Harvest. Yeah, I figured that from last year. All right. So here's our four topics. We're going to breeze through these. First topic is leadership for all of us begins with being Christ followers, God-dependent, Spirit-filled, and have biblical faith. And as those foundational things are there, we're able to grow in leadership. Second thing is giftedness. We're going to talk about that for a moment. Third thing is a growth versus fixed mindset. And the last thing is opportunities and how key they are to kind of leading you into what's next in life. So the first thing we're going to look at is learning to follow Jesus, and he is the one that teaches us how to be fishers of men and how to be servant leaders. So who has Luke 5? And I think it's a little bit down. There's a story on the about the boat and the catch of fish. But if you could go down a little bit in there and it says, follow me. Do you see that? I didn't actually have the exact verse. They throw their nets out and then they leave their nets. So go like a line, like two lines before that, like how they left their nets and stuff. Let's hear that little part of the story.
Kirky and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James and John, and his son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. For now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up in shore and left everything and followed them.
Yep, and then go on a little bit more.
While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along.
Oh, wait a minute. So did he say that before about I'll make you fishers of men? Did you already read that part?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think you did too. I was listening to the whole story. So the whole gist is that we learn to follow Jesus by doing what? By actually following him. Like if you sit around and plan to know everything and know about Jesus and read everything and know everything and do everything except follow him, then it's going to be really hard to ever discover how really to follow him. So here's an example. There was a guy that had floaties on his arms. He was standing on the edge of a diving board and everybody was calling out to him saying, jump in, you can do it. He said, I know I can do it. I've read every internet blog about diving. I know everything there is to know about jumping off a diving board. I know how to bend my legs and exactly when to actually leap from the board. And I know exactly what to do to go in straight and to keep my feet back, to keep from making a splash. I know exactly what to do with my arms so that I can dive simply and easily and efficiently. And it is going to be awesome, except I've never actually jumped off the diving board. And everybody's like, what are you talking about? And the guy said, oh, well, I've learned everything I can. I've been learning, but I've just never actually quite taken the leap. And I thought it was kind of a sad little story. I don't think it was true, but it's a sad little story to think that we know it all, but don't actually do it. And so part of our job as believers is to trust Jesus enough to say, yes, I will follow you wherever it is that you're going to lead me step by step. So we're dependent on God's presence in our lives. So we have John 15, and just read the first few verses of John 15. Everybody listening.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me.
All right, so that's good. You can't produce fruit unless you are remaining in Jesus. Remaining in Jesus is basically being in his word, trusting him, spending time praying, communicating, knowing the Lord, having fellowship with him. And these couple things and these next two are essential for actually having the possibility of being a leader in our churches and with our peers to actually live the life of a faithful believer. It does not start from a whole bunch of to-do lists and learning how to, you know, strategize and plan, and all those things are important. But if it doesn't start with the heart, you will always have a leadership that is just a little bit, it's got a little bit of edge to it, because you're just not going to have the heart that says, hey, I'm following Christ. I'm not going to just like stand back and not do anything. I'm going to go for it. But it starts with the heart. And that's where learning to follow Jesus, being dependent on his presence, you can't accomplish anything without Jesus in your life. So we are going to look at the third one, that we're filled with God's Spirit, that we're not just trying to do it on our own power. So Acts 1:8.
That you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Awesome. So Acts 1:8 basically teaches us that we are going to have God's Spirit fill us as believers, and because of that, we're going to be able to be witnesses and to do his work on earth. And that's another awesome part of being a leader, is that we are filled with God's Spirit. Let me tell you a couple things about that. One is, if you are a Christian, you have God's Spirit. It's kind of weird to think about, because some people just don't sometimes feel that way. Like, they're like, oh man, I can't really live in the Spirit. I still fall to temptation and treat my family bad and everything is a mess. You may not have allowed the Spirit to take control of your emotions, heart, and life, and words. And you can do that more by opening your life to the Spirit, praying, God, fill me with your Spirit every single day. I want to have joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And if you don't have that opportunity to just say, fill me more, then the Spirit can be there, but isn't free to work and to mold and shape us. So we want to be filled with the Spirit. Now, here's another interesting thing. I have run across a lot of church kids, and a chunk of you guys are, I'm sure, have been in church a lot in your life and around it, because you're here at this kind of event. And some church kids aren't exactly sure when they began following Jesus. Now, some people say, I began following Jesus in 2007 at summer camp, 7:09 p.m. The preacher was talking and I went to the altar. Now, raise your hand if you have that kind of testimony. Like, you know the time, or the day at least. Anybody know the year? All right. So I have run across more than I thought of these type of people. You are like me, and this could be you. I'll just share the story. May not be exactly. Everybody's different. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad were both believers. They sang in a minister group when they were in college. They participated in Christian life on their college campus. They were both from families who both went to church and participated in the life of their church and lived it out. They weren't the type of family that just kind of went to church if nothing else was going on. Church was like bedrock each week, and everything else in their lives worked around that. And that's really the kind of legacy that I am hoping to leave for my family, my kids. This day and age, a lot of things come before church for people. Soccer games, little family vacations, going out to the lake, all kinds of things will overtake the Sunday morning schedule, especially with traveling sports and stuff. And that's not a bash on anybody that does that. You learn a lot doing that. But my legacy I want to leave is Sunday morning, our family goes to church. There's never been a question in our house that said, are we going to church today? No one has ever asked that, I promise. Like, that is just not a thing that happens in our home. And so I grew up in that kind of family. And as a result of that, the interesting thing is that I heard about Jesus my entire life. And not only did I hear about Jesus, but I thought it would be awesome to be like my mom and dad and my grandma and grandpa and my other grandma and grandpa and most of my aunts and uncles, and just say, I'm going to be a Christian and I'm going to follow Jesus. And that kind of sunk into my heart as somewhere, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm not sure exactly what age. And then at some point I started saying, whoa, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm just going to take this seriously. And so somewhere middle schoolish age, I sort of just determined that I wanted to follow Christ too. And so you might be like that, where you're not really sure how it happened. But if you are a friend of God, if you think about the Lord Jesus, if you have said yes to Lord Jesus in your life and in your heart, whether you were 3, 4, 5, or you're not even sure when, if you say Jesus is Lord of my life, then you are a believer, the Bible says. If you say his name, you are a believer. And if you are a believer, you have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, then you have the possibility of growing in that gift of God's presence in you, being a witness, being a leader, being someone who's making a difference in the world. So thanks for letting me share my little tidbit there. What was your question?
It wasn't really a question, but that question has never never came in our house.
Oh, you never had that question either?
No, my dad's passed
it. Oh, he's passed. Yeah, that's true. So if your dad's the preacher, then you have to sort of just go all the time you do it. And so preacher kids are a totally different story. Who's a preacher's kid here? Yeah, so a bunch of you are in the same boat that I was, because my dad was also a preacher. And what's weird is I'm not actually a preacher. I do work at a church, but I'm just on staff. But I know that sometimes it's easy to kind of, we don't want to be legalistic about it. Like, oh, if I don't go to church, then the whole world's going to fall apart. But there is something about the commitment to church. Have you ever seen Chariots of Fire? You know that story? The gist of the story is, back in early 1900s, a guy named Eric Liddell won. He was an incredible runner, and he won gold medals for sprinting I guess he was from England. And what was really crazy was that he got to the Olympics, and his event was on Sunday morning. And he was like, no. And what do you mean, no? He's like, I don't run on Sunday mornings. I go to church. And they're like, no, you're at the Olympics. Like, this is just, we set that aside for just a little bit. Maybe just this once. And he said, no, not even just this once, because if I do it once, then I will know that there's always a possibility that something is going to be more important than staying disciplined to give my worship to the Lord on the first morning of every week, first Sunday of every week. And so the movie is about, among other things, that's part of the plot, that he wouldn't run on Sunday. So he forfeited his spot, but after he forfeited his spot, all of a sudden this whole thing opens up because he's trusting the Lord, and he was able to run other events, and or it rained and they bumped it. I don't exactly remember what happened, but whatever it was, he ran anyway and got gold medals. And after he got gold medals, he was asked to speak all over the world because he said, no, I won't run on Sundays. And I always think of that movie when I think about schedules these days and people's lives. And again, not to disparage anyone, because when you're a kid, you don't really have a big option. If your family runs off to the lake on the weekend, you don't have much say in that. But if you just have a desire to say, I'm going to follow Jesus, then when you have an opportunity to leave a legacy and build a legacy in your home, you say, boom, this is Sundays. This is how we do it. This is how we do our lives. Here's how our family's going to be. And it can have a big impact. All right, we'll never get through if we do it that long and everything else. Understanding that it's God's work in you, you're saved by God's grace and not on your own. Your love for God prompts you to desire Him and His holiness. And you know where you were in a biblical sense before salvation. I just kind of talked about that. Basically, we can know that we're believers, even if we didn't have a knockdown, drag-out testimony like, oh, well, yeah, I was at the end of my rope, I was in jail, I killed 3 people and took drugs for 20 years, and now I found the Lord. Like, those type of testimonies are hard when you're a kid that grew up 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, and you're like, I want to follow Jesus. My testimony is so cheesy. I mean, like, what's that really going to do? Like, I grew up in a Christian home, and here I am, I'm following Christ. Like, who's going to really get excited about that? So we think. But that's such an awesome heritage. So you can know this. The difference between following Christ and being spiritually alive, the opposite of that is being spiritually dead. And I think we got some people to look these up, so we'll read them. But just knowing that the opposite of being spiritually alive is spiritually dead is enough of a testimony. That's the testimony. It's the testimony of everyone. And so it is awesome to be able to know that. So let's just read these. Ephesians 2:1.
As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sin.
Yep. So everybody was dead in their transgression. And whether we had the big knockdown, drag out testimony story about that or not, we were still dead. Whether you tell a little white lie or you do something horrendous, you're separated from God. And so that's a great verse. 1 Corinthians 2:14.
The person without the Spirit does not accept The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned through the Spirit.
All right, so they can't understand because they're not in the Spirit, and so that's part of the thing. Romans 8:7-8.
For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God.
Yep, so that's a whole other part of sinful nature and the being dead to what God desires. And so, awesome job. Okay, so that's the first one, and the whole gist is, in order to be a student leader, in order to equip you all and myself for ministry, for living life and having influence on people that's going to make an impact in their lives, whether you grow up to be a preacher or a missionary or some kind of ministry leader, or whether you grow up to be a teacher or a business owner, accountant, a nurse, you have the opportunity to influence lives because of what Christ has done in you. So now we're going to move on to giftedness. Raise your hand if you know gifts, some gifts that you have. You don't have to say them. Just raise your hand if you know some of the gifts that you have. Get some water here. All right, so a bunch of you know your gifts. Sometimes we're kind of skittish to say it. We're like, oh, I don't want to act like I'm something else. But one of the cool things about humility is knowing that your gifts come from God and that you can share those with others, and that's kind of a neat thing. Does anybody feel brave enough to share a gift that they have?
I'm good with kids.
Good with kids. That's a great gift. What's yours?
I can sing.
You can sing. Awesome. Anybody else want to share a gift you have? Did you say you have? Oh. Yeah.
I can sing too.
You can sing too? Cool. Anybody else have a gift they want to share?
No.
All right, I'll show you one of my gifts. Now, this is kind of being silly, but this just makes sure we stay awake whenever we are, just after lunch. So, you ready? I can do this. A lot of you can. I can also do this, where you invert it.
Did you do that? I did it.
Yay. Now, watch this. My gift continues. It's amazing. I can also do this, where one hand is one way, and one is the other way. And then I can switch them. Now, once you practice that a little bit, maybe it's more of a learned art than a gift, but watch this.
Does this one?
I can eventually go like this.
Please don't. Whoa.
So, that's one little goofy kind of thing, but gifts come in a lot of shapes and sizes. You can be a good listener. You can be good with animals. You can be good at talking to people, teaching people, music stuff, art stuff, creative stuff, problem solving, tinkering around with things. Who looks at something and says, I wonder how that works, and opens it up? Does anybody do that? Of course, yeah, there's always like two or three people that tear everything up. And then so then you learn stuff, you can just know how to do it. Who has run sound or production for their church? Yeah, so that's like somebody's got to do it, but it's also a gift to be able to be willing to do that. What was the gift you were going to share?
I can roll my tongue.
Oh.
Like do the
Let's
clover
see
thing.
Let's oh, see the clover. Mm-hmm.
Let me see
it. Can anybody raise their eyebrows? Just one eyebrow? Yeah, wow. One eyebrow. Oh, wow. That's professional, Anna. That's hilarious. I look over and she's like this.
Like this? Wait, I can't tell if I do it or not.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
This is what I do.
Noah does it pretty well.
Oh, nice.
I learned it from him.
All right, my last sidetracked gift. I could take a cup of water. It could be full of water. And this is kind of weird because it's in the cup. It's kind of top heavy, but I'll try it anyway. And I bring it under my arm and bring it around. Bring it all the way around. I'll do that. So you can all try that later on. We'll try that at dinner when we're sitting around people. Okay, so we're going to talk about giftedness for a minute. And here's the first thing. We have to take notice of our loves. And this happens from about the age of 12 till about 19, 20, 21, 22. And you just start kind of realizing the things that you love, things that are awesome to you, things you like to do, things you like to experience. And if you start just taking notice of those gifts or those loves in your life, then you'll start getting a little picture more clearly of the ways God has gifted you. Now, spiritual gifts are also part of this mix because spiritual gifts are things that God just puts into your heart and mind. And these other gifts are things that God gives you that might just seem like they're God-given, but they're not necessarily like caring and prayer and all those kind of things. They're more like, I'm just good at fixing guitars, or I'm a great drummer, or I could grab a microphone and sing, or I'm good at talking to my friends and helping everybody feel like they belong, anything like that. So, how do you take notice of your loves? One way is just start realizing, as you are doing things, does this really give me a lot of joy? Like, I just can't wait to get out on the softball field. It is like the highlight of my day and my week. I can't think of anything better. And as you do that, you realize, whoa, I really love softball. It's like, I love being part of the team. Who knows what you could do with that? You could become a softball coach. You could become all kinds of things that would help other people experience God's grace based on your leadership in life. Now, how do you experience those loves a little bit? You take notice of how others respond to you. Now, this is kind of dangerous to say to teenagers because all of us have a big issue of worrying what other people think. We just automatically assume that everybody is looking at us, thinking about us, making fun of us, and when we do things kind of weird or wrong, we're like, oh my goodness, the whole world's ending. I just did this. It was terrible. Here's what I did in sixth grade. I bought a candy bar for a fundraiser, and back then, for whatever reason, it was a weird little quirk of the 80s. People would wear tube socks up to here, and they would keep things in their socks. You might have seen this in some movies. So they pull their socks up, put a comb or their wallet or a credit card or a driver's license in their sock.
That sounds safe.
And they would walk around and live life. So I thought I was cool as a sixth grader. I'd seen all the youth group kids do it. So I bought a candy bar for a dollar for a fundraiser, put it in my sock, ran around all day long, got to 6-hour science class, Mr. Cantrell, MG School District, Belleville, Illinois. And about halfway through, I thought, I'm going to eat that candy bar. I reached in my sock and felt the wrapper. And then I was like, what happened to my candy bar? And like sixth grade me is like, what is going on here? And then I moved my sock back a little bit and I saw like chocolate. Then I wiggled my toes and realized this is absolutely disgusting. So I don't like feet stuff anyway. And then to think about chocolate being down at the bottom of my sock, I was like mortified, horrified, and everything was the worst. And I just stood up in sixth grade science, which you're not supposed to do this in middle school, walked out of the class without saying a word to Mr. Cantrell and just left. The only reason I didn't get in trouble is because he said I'd never caused him any trouble before. He was really shocked that I was that brave to just walk out. I go to the payphone, call my mom, and here's what I said. Everybody probably thinks I'm a nut because I've got chocolate in my sock. You've got to bring me a new pair of socks. And then school was going to be done like in one more hour. I could have just gone home. But she drove a pair of socks over to me because I was so like lunatic about this. And I had to take my sock off and I don't know what I did with it, put on new socks. And I went back in the science class. He goes, everything okay? I said, yeah. I was totally embarrassed. Nobody could even see the chocolate. But it was just like in my mind and my heart, I was so embarrassed. Here's what I heard somebody say. When you're a teenager, you worry what people think about you. When you are an adult, you don't care what people think about you. When you're a senior adult, anybody guess?
They want people to think
about you. So when you're a senior adult, that's a good answer. When you're a senior adult, you realize this. No one was ever really thinking about you. So part of what we're trying to do is not worry about what people think about us on that level. But I kind of went around here. Take notice of how others respond. If you sing a song, there will be some people who will respond like this. Woo! Because they're family, friends, moms, dads. They kind of clap and cheer because they're kind. Then other people sing a song and everybody just erupts. They sort of stand up and just woo! And people you don't even know love it. And so you want to take notice of how people respond to your gifts that you're trying. Raise your hand if you can think of a scenario where people have responded to something you have done well. Can you raise your hand? All right. So anybody want to share a story of what came to their mind? People who have responded to something you've done well. You want to share yours when you raise your hand? You want to share yours?
I sang the Star Spangled Banner at a wrestling tournament.
Oh. That was
cool.
Cool.
And then everybody went,
good. What's yours?
Anna sang at church camp. It's really good. And I told her that she did a great job, and she was like, thanks. So that's her.
It was so good she kept singing after the guitar stopped. She just kept going.
That's funny. That is true, though. Sometimes it's easier to pick out other people's gifts than your own. Yeah. So that's kind of true. What were you going to say? One last one.
Somewhere at the end of the school year, it was we had the final choir concert Pops, and I got an entire song solo to myself. And my mom, I don't know if she was just saying this because she was my mom, but she says that she thinks that we'll treat the loudest.
No, wow. That's cool. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to tell. It's awesome to have a family who cheers loud for you, whether you do good or not. But sometimes it makes it hard to tell what you love because they just think everything's great. Okay. So here's what I want you to do. The third point, take time to try stuff and see what you enjoy. High school is an awesome time to do that. Middle school is too. Try things out and just see where God might be leading you. Moving on. Actually, wait. Understanding the gift of the Spirit, we already talked about it. If you look up 1 Corinthians 12, anybody look that one up? It's a long list. Go ahead and read a little bit of it.
Who dares despair the day of small things since the seven eyes of the Lord that reigns throughout the earth?
Wait a minute. Where are you in?
1 Corinthians or 1 Chronicles?
Corinthians 12?
No, I don't know.
Spell. Yeah, take a look.
Now about the gifts of spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that.
Just read. You're fine.
See. You know what you're doing. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or others, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so that's part of it, that by when we're filled with the Spirit, we can say Jesus is Lord, and without that, you can't really do it. And then that chapter is long. We gave you a long one. Good job. But the chapter goes on to say these are some of the gifts of the Spirit, and some of that is leadership and helping and praying and all kinds of things like that. And so you can take a look at that list because that's kind of a long one to do in a short amount of time. All right, we're going to cruise through the last two here. Growth mindset versus fixed mindset. We have to be willing to try things like we just mentioned, and you all can learn things. Sometimes, as teenagers, we step back from things, worried about what people think, and we wind up not doing it at all, assuming that we can't do it. But with God's power, we can do it. So who has Zechariah 4:10? Zechariah, anybody have that one? If not, I'll just tell it to you.
I thought that was mine.
Oh, that's what you had.
Yeah.
That did sound familiar, yeah. So do not despise the day of small beginnings. And it starts with a little chunk, and that's probably what you had. Zechariah 4:10. Okay, so one of the things is, nobody starts off as a professional. If you're going to learn music, you're going to learn sports, you're going to learn computers, you're going to learn how to sing or talk or do anything, you're going to start at the very beginning. And as you do that, then for one, you're going to discover if you love it or not, and then you're going to discover you got to trust God to grow that gift and continue on. But some people with a fixed mindset assume that they'll never be able to do whatever it is. So sometimes you hear this in testimonies. God called me to preach, and I said, no way, I could never preach. That's a fixed mindset, just to assume you can never preach. Or God calls me to go talk to my friend who is feeling sad. But we're like, well, I don't really want to bug them because they're over there crying and they're on their own. Just let them kind of be alone for a while. Well, that's a fixed mindset. There's nothing I can really do to help. We want to have a growth mindset that says, think about the way things could be, about the great things. And when we think about the great things, then we are able to do Awesome stuff, because God is at work in us. So somebody read Philippians 4:8. Okay, let's hear it.
Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is noble, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about
such. Yep, the Bible actually says to think about the good things. Sometimes people start taking this stuff as like mumbo jumbo, like new age. Oh, I'm just going to set my mind to it. Or like the Disney message, which is whatever you think of, you can go do. And God is saying, no, I'm the most important thing to think about. But I also want you to have the heart and the mind to say, I want to think about what is good, lovely, right, and all those great things. When we take that verse to heart, if you want to circle that one, it decreases the drama in your relational lives as teenagers. Because most of the time, we kind of feel bad about ourselves in some manner, and we sort of put that onto other people. And that's why people talk bad about others. They gossip. They make fun of people. All kinds of stuff. But if you think in terms of how neat something is, or how lovely somebody has acted, or how nice your friend was, it's going to decrease the drama. Okay. Then the last one, or Proverbs 29:18. Somebody have that one? Anybody, did we assign that one? Proverbs?
Here.
Okay. You have it.
Mm-mm. Anna's got it.
Where there is no revelation, people have passed off your strength. But blessed is the one who heeds your son's instruction.
Yep, so that's all about becoming wise, because you actually listen to instruction. So here's the last line of that one. A growth mindset believes the abilities can be developed through effort and learning, while a fixed mindset believes abilities are fixed and cannot be improved. So you can improve your life. You can improve your relationship with God just by spending time in His Word and prayer. You can know more about what kinds of things you love to do and do them well. And you don't have to decide everything about your entire life now, but you can take what you're doing and do it really well. If you're asked to prepare something for church, you invest some time preparing. And in those ways, you become a servant leader, even as a student. What was your question? Okay, I'll let you ask it in a second. Let's go on to the last one, opportunities, and this is going to wind us down. Yeah. Yeah. Just, oh, yeah. Go ahead. Say it.
I have to.
You can just do it.
I can do all things through Christ.
Yep, that is a great verse, and it's a good one to memorize. Okay, so opportunities. This is the last thing, and thanks you guys for listening. It's really crazy just to sit and talk, but you guys have also chimed in, so thanks. Opportunities, you see what needs to be done. This might be a single best indicator of becoming a student leader, is that we notice what might need to be done, how we can help. Who has ever hung around after church or a school event and helped take down chairs or tables? Of course, like we're usually kind people and we're willing to do something like that. When you do that, you are building in your life a characteristic that's going to make a difference later on. Who has been asked to do something in their church? Have you ever been asked to do something that you thought was cool? All right, so let me hear a few things you've been asked to do. Somebody rattle one off. You got one?
I worked on slides for music and stuff.
Oh, for worship, like
yeah.
Graphics. Okay, cool. What have you been asked to do?
I got to
prepare or serve?
I got to prepare.
Oh, prepare. Awesome. Good.
Done children messages, and I do like
flyers
and stuff.
Do what?
What
was
flyers,
the second thing?
Like flyers and social media.
Oh, flyers, social media. Oh, okay, cool. Good. That's an awesome thing to do. What's yours?
Like singing from
the room,
but I said
that. Okay. But you were asked, so that's good.
I help with nursery care and then read the verses.
Oh, cool. What's yours?
I've been asking your children's message. I didn't do it, but I asked what you do.
You are something else. That's hilarious. All right, so what's yours? Yeah, whoever had their hand up. What?
I've been asked who I've done it, but I really and asked to help with the computer for like the worship stuff and the Facebook Live.
Awesome. You guys are learning a lot of stuff. Anybody else? All right, I'll just give you a couple examples. Those are all great examples, and I was asked those same things. When I was a kid, I was asked to lead worship for children's ministry. At a church, we had about 1,000 people in our church in Belleville, Illinois, and I was the children's ministry worship leader when I was in sixth grade, and I had only played guitar for 6 months, and really, that is what kind of started me on a journey of leading people in music, was that one invitation from one lady named Jennifer Stewart. And another thing I was asked to do was clean the church daycare. Another thing I was asked to do was fill the church soda machine on Wednesday nights. I got invited to a Bible study with freshman guys, and a high school leader led us, and I still know all those guys to this day. And I was asked to mow the yard of the church. And you know what that did? It started me on a little journey of not only mowing the churchyard, but because I mowed the churchyard, and these stories are all kind of cool. These are like my fun, like, life stories kind of. So don't feel like you have to, like, do these. But because I mowed the churchyard, when the little old ladies from the 1,000-person church would call and say, who can mow my grass? Do you guys have any young high school guys up there? They would all, in the church office, call me because I mowed the churchyard. And before high school was done, I had 22 yards a week. I made almost as much money as my mom being like a teacher's aide because all these people were paying me to mow their yard because I had just been asked to do that first thing. And so one of the first steps we do as student leaders is we pray, trust the Lord, follow in his footsteps, and when people ask us, we respond with some kind of answer. We try things. We do it. We take up courage and go. So maybe something breaks your heart. You see helpless people or hungry people. My daughter Ruby did that for a project when she was a senior in high school. She did homeless bags. You guys might have made those before, little care kits with Ziploc bags. And I don't know how many hundreds of those she got through her little group that she had. And they asked church members to bring supplies or money to put into like the little donation basket. And just the money in the donation basket was $600 because they just wanted to give. And so they went and bought more stuff. So if something breaks your heart or you're passionate about it, you do it. You start, create, or begin. Earlier today, Rachel was sitting there saying, Tilla does videos and whatnot. And all of a sudden, I handed her a microphone. She ran around and got some little videos. And this video is super short, so it wasn't a major ordeal. But just that one little gift, who knows what you could do with that for the kingdom. Make videos that give God glory. Social media stuff that goes out so that we can give God glory. And the last one is outside of our comfort zone. Here's a quote I heard. It said, you can either be comfortable or you can grow, but you can't do both. And that's pretty powerful because when we just kind of settle in, we're on the couch, we're like, we're never going to grow. You have to decide that you're going to trust Jesus and you're going to become who God is calling you to be as a leader and as a student leader. For sure. Okay. Thank you guys for listening so well. You haven't fallen asleep. All your eyeballs have been on me. Let's thank you for the little applause. Now, let me just hear anybody that has a good question about what we just talked about, or just a thought, like a confirmation, something you'd just like to say. Yes?
I've got one on the growth mindset thing. Like all the way into college, you will hear this growth mindset, not only like in the church world, but also like in school in general. And there's like statistics all over saying that like if you have a growth mindset over a fixed mindset, your school grades will go up and just your general happiness, and it will be a part of your life the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's a big thing. There was a book that came out by Carol Dweck, and it was basically that's when all that started really happening, like 5 years ago. And so yeah, we definitely want to not have a growth mindset in a sense of like worldly stuff, like I'm gonna do it, but more like Jesus, you're gonna lead me in this, and I'm gonna trust that you're just gonna take me in and make it happen. And so it's pretty awesome. Anybody else? That's a good thought, Rachel. Thanks. Anybody else have something you just want to say about what we just talked about? You should do a children's message. You have a nice, pleasant smile. They'd love you.
These are the kids in the children's message.
Oh, there.
There's a little
So what would you like to do in life?
I
have a few
you don't
younger know. Siblings.
You don't have to know now anyway.
I have a few younger siblings.
A few of them? What's your...
On the calling thing, if God puts something on your heart, even if you're scared to do it anyways. Because you never know what it's going to lead to. Like what Tim was saying, like things that you do now while you're younger can open so many doors that you wouldn't even know was possible when you're older.
Yeah.
Because if you take a risk and you do that thing that you feel like God is putting on your heart, who knows what kind of connections you're going to make, who could either be a future employer or could really help you out sometime in the future. So just don't be afraid to take risks.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, they have something that they talk about called identity capital. And some of just doing things is what helps build who you are. One last thing, then we got to pray and stop. Anybody? Hey, another big round of applause for Harper. She brought us a great song. Harper's a good example of like student ministry leadership because she's been in her youth band at her church and jumping into the harvest world just at high school, so I think that's pretty awesome. Okay, we are going to give away these two books that John Batch pulled up. Earl Blackaby's Experiencing God is a Daily Devotional. And so if you get it and you don't really like this kind of stuff or don't like to read devotionals, some people don't, then you can keep it and give it to someone. Like, and make it a really nice little gift for them. Say, I want to give this to you. So here's how we're going to do it. Anybody have a birthday today? Just kidding. I was just kidding.
Yeah,
anybody have a, besides me, anybody have a birthday? Because I already have these. Anybody have a birthday this month?
Wait,
month of June. Birthday's in the month of June. Oh, you're the only one. What day is yours?
Second.
June 2nd. Yay. Congratulations. You just won one of the books. All right. The second question is, has anyone traveled out of the country in this year, 2025? What? You will? Where?
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico? What are you doing down there?
Vacation.
Vacation?
Okay.
Coming up when?
July.
Oh, wow.
No, I think
she's
cool.
Okay, well, then because we asked the question, you win this one too. Because if you're traveling all over creation, then you need to read this book too. Here you go. So, where did you go out of the country?
I've been to Sweden, Lithuania, Estonia, Turkey, and Georgia.
Wow. Who else has been out of the country?
She wrestled, too. She competed.
Oh, wow.
She's
anybody else been out of the country? Okay, is your youth group take a mission trip?
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Wait.
Where are you going this year?
Kentucky.
Where at? Kentucky?
Bear.
In, like, 9 days.
Oh, my. So you're here
and
there?
Single digits. It's 9 days away. Next Saturday.
Sounds really fun.
All
right, let me see if I can open this.
We're very excited.
Now, here's what's, good grief. Hang on a second. We're supposed to have another youth ministry elective seminar. And I do have a couple other things, but the next session, you're welcome to look at the book and go to a different seminar if one strikes you. Even if it's an adult one, you can just go participate, and that's cool. But in a few moments, if anybody determines to stay, I've got one little video that's about about following. And so that's what we're going to do next, if you'd like. Otherwise, in a few minutes, we are going to stop and head to either a seminar or do whatever. Yeah, and I'm saying that as not knowing your family's sort of rules. Some families are expecting you to be in student stuff. So don't just run off all recreation if you know your family doesn't want you to do that. So you've got to be in a seminar next hour, which actually starts probably in about 10 minutes. Okay, everybody gets two pieces of Laffy Taffy and hand them out. If I could give them, hand them down the line, pass them around. Everybody take two pieces. And here you guys go. Oh, wow. Yeah, there's no way to catch fire. Sorry about that.
Really cool.
Two pieces. Everybody gets two pieces.
Yeah, we can
sit here. Now, try to get your the side panel open so that you can. Oh, good catch. Come on. Get the side panel open so you can see the two jokes. She said, ow. A piece of Laffy Taffy hit her leg and she said, ow. Everybody got two yet? Two? All right, go ahead and open up the jokes because that's what you're using for. Then you can eat it later. Make sure you have the jokes open. Everybody got a joke? If you don't know what jokes are, have your friends show you. They're on the label on the side.
What? Look up for a wood laugh, always laugh for this, like, dude. Instagram.
Oh, wait.
Okay, real quick before we do this. You guys want to hear two short jokes and a long joke?
Uh-oh.
You ready? Joke, joke, joke.
That sounded like a dad joke.
It basically was. Thank you for being in this seminar. I'm officially going to stop the recording. I hope that we did it right, and praise the Lord for you guys. Okay. Did I stop it?